Okay, one thing is if when you start doing the show though, if you're gonna just talk in the mic without your guitar, you'll need to get closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Just for
No.
then just noticing how very little you're registering on my on the thing here.
Yeah, so I'm not just
It's fine, you're all right with that?
shut up.
It is Christmas.
Okay, tell me when you're ready to start.
I'll never be ready to start singing a song, but okay. Okay, go ahead.
Ready?
Yep. Sneaky Dragon, episode 107. Here's our show with me, David Dedrick, and Ian Boothby, too. Hey, David M. is our guest. He is playing the guitar. And now I think it's time to stop singing because I've taken this too far. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show, the Sneaky Dragon.
Hey, boys, do you want to come in for some hot cocoa? I'm not a pedophile.
Is that how, that's how all 70s Christmas shows started?
Yes.
The Bing Crosby one, the
that's
Mac
right.
Davis one.
It would always open with the door and there'd be carolers there, and then Bing would say, I'm not a pedophile.
I'm not a pedophile.
They would let them in, and the Christmas special would begin.
Who
and
boy,
then I
would
think
it?
Paul Lynn would introduce Kiss.
And now, okay, you have to do Paul Lynn then. Introducing
Paul
Kiss.
Lynn? Yeah. And now, here's Kiss.
Playing.
Who's under the mistletoe?
I like their jingle bells.
And there we go.
And scene.
Continue your intro,
so,
Dave.
So, joining us today on the show, I think I already did the whole introduction, and joining us today on the show is David M., who is
doing his taxes currently.
Doing his taxes. He's got some paperwork, and he's attacking the printer in the office.
Before we do that, Dave.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I'm so sorry that you got a ticket before coming here.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because my wife always likes to know all about my extracurricular charges.
Like
that
she
I
listens to this show.
She does.
But one thing I liked was you asked me, Ian, take the parking ticket off my windshield, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did, and it's Christmas colors.
Yeah.
It's really festive.
It's really nice yellow, bright yellow. It says, fuck you.
That's right.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, a little reindeer saying that. And then there's an image of the reindeer taking a shit on your car and your dreams.
Yes, nothing makes, you know.
Okay, David is still getting his T4s in
still
order.
Getting his nothing makes you happier than that kind of, I don't know, just that kind of like shit on your day kind of moment,
mm-hmm.
like getting fined for.
It's also
a
good
car.
For the guy writing the ticket because, you know, everyone loves
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone's in a good mood when they see him. They have a nice conversation with the guy. It all goes well.
Hey, I wasn't rude to him or anything. I just said, I can move my car. Or have you already written the ticket? He said, it's already done. I said, that's fine. What can you do?
Are you having a good holiday so far?
Yeah, actually. I started Christmas shopping Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting done. Getting her done.
Dave, I live in kind of a tough neighborhood here.
You live in how tough a neighborhood is it?
Well, I'll tell you. They had a nativity scene down the street,
mm-hmm.
and the part of Baby Jesus was played by a bag of meth.
That's are
that's
they brought
how tough this neighborhood is.
Okay.
I used that same joke last night at the Critical Hit Show.
And how did it
replace
go?
Replace my neighborhood with Delta.
Okay.
All worked fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anyway,
okay.
I think David has filed his returns.
Are the people the people who listen to both or 10 Critical Hit and also listen to Sneaky Dragon will enjoy that joke all the more.
I hope so. I hope
what you
so.
Should have said is the wise men brought Frankenmeth. So,
yeah. And then spent all the gold on it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So anyway, right. Back
so
to our guest. Yes,
on to our guest.
That's all I'm going to do. This is
that's
the show.
Is this
moving
paper?
Papers around
the Andy Kaufman of Christmas
Silent.
Show.
Santa outfits have less Christmas padding than this has had so far.
So joining us on the show today is David M., who is going to be doing a Christmas show here in Vancouver on Sunday. That's December 22nd, I believe. Is that not right, David?
No one will be admitted.
No one will be admitted. Unless you come, in which case I will sneak you in because I'm going to be at the show.
David takes Silent Night very seriously.
That's right, really silent.
I'm going to be reprising my role as card holder in the show. So
now, when were you first? When did you first take on this role? What was the first time you ever were card holder?
I think I have no idea. Actually,
the last time you did it, I would say it would be our 100th anniversary show.
Yeah, I did hold some cards at that.
Right,
and I did last year at the Christmas show. I held cards. When we had it at the jerkiest bar in Vancouver, Lanaloo's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, Lana, fuck you, more.
That was. Yes. There was some objection to David walking on the bar.
Well, on the table.
Actually. And on the tables.
Yeah.
Some people don't like that coyote ugly type vibe. Thought it was very popular around that time.
Yeah.
No, it's just there was nobody there drinking, so they're in a bad mood. To hell with them. I mean, if I ever go in there again, and it's I made it clear to people who've asked me to go there, I'm going to immediately walk onto the nearest table. And I'm just going to keep walking from table to table until, you know.
Well, something people don't know is David has a superstition that the floor is made of lava at all of his shows. And everyone is encouraged to get on the tables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those tables at the Railway Club, those little, they have a long stem and a small round top.
Mm-hmm. So do a lot of the ladies there, am I right? Anyway, sorry.
They're kind of like a stool. It's basically, if you took a stool and made it into a table, you would have those.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still have to get up on them. Mm-hmm. And every time I do, I hear people going, like, they don't make a sound. They just go, like, kind of wait.
Or that's the Vancouver thing. We don't tell you not to do something. We just go. What are you going to do? He's going to walk into traffic. I got no say here. Yeah. Don't tell me a dog. Whatever. He's going to do it.
So, Christmas show, little place.
It's at 7 o'clock at the Prop House, which is on Venables near Commercial.
Right. Former guest of the show, Ben Mills, does a show there on Monday nights.
That's right.
It's a comedy show. Very
I was
funny.
There on Monday.
You were there on Monday?
It's right around the corner from where I am. So.
And it's if there's an earthquake in Vancouver, which probably won't happen, but if it does, you're dead. Because it's all glass. It's all hanging from the ceiling by threads. Yeah. It's just a collection of antique glass and steel and tiger statues.
I was going to say, or panther statues. So what's going to happen is they could say you were killed by falling glass or killed by leaping panthers. Either one would be accurate.
Yes, and one is cooler than the other. On your tombstone.
One is cooler than the other, though. One is cooler. I would rather my tombstone said killed by panther. In fact, I think I'm going to have that anyway, even if I just die in my bed, which, God willing, is what happens to me.
Attacked by a panther in your bed.
I hope that...
It's weird, because last week you were attacked by a pit bull in your bed, but you're hoping to upgrade onto a panther in your bed.
You talking about our new dog?
What's that? Oh, what?
Yeah.
Do you now... Is that dog now yours?
I think that that's the general plan that I'm not a part of. I think it's one of those things that's like the man who came to dinner. You know that this is the dog who came to dinner?
The dog who came to bed.
Isn't there a story about that? There's like a story about a guy who comes to visit a house and then he never leaves.
Because he's too polite.
Because he's too polite.
It's a Stephen Leacock story.
That's right. This is the dog. He's not that polite. He's not polite at all. He's very vocal. He likes to bark at you to tell you to do things. Like, if you're not petting him and he thinks you should, then he'll stand and bark at you.
Well, let me tell you the best part about what you're saying. And then we'll get to delightful music, because that's actually going to be the good part of the show.
Okay.
You've already got a dog that you say is a very well-behaved trained dog.
He's very well-behaved.
Well, clearly this other dog will now become the alpha dog. Mm. And everything this dog does, that dog will now do. So all your training on that dog, out the window, Jack, because you are no longer the alpha dog.
All they do now is play fight. They play fight for like an hour. You're watching a TV show and it's an hour of two dogs drooling and wrestling in front of you.
That was very similar to you and your brothers, though, to be fair.
That's the thing.
Now you know what your folks had it. You didn't have boys, all right? So, you know, this is karma chance. Coming around.
This is coming around,
and,
that's true enough.
Pit bull biting you
got
on the
two
ass.
Two boys, and now I learned maybe I didn't want boys. I'm happy with girls.
Okay, back to the good stuff.
So back to,
I'm so sorry I put you next to the printer and you have no elbow room. Really apologize.
It serves as a percussion device.
If you need to do any faxing, I think that still has the ability.
It's like when Frank Zappa went on the Steve Allen show and played the bicycle. David's going to play the printer for us.
I am.
Okay, so...
Actually, I will. Okay, here's the missing chorus from The Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom. Somebody get that little drummer boy out of here before every Roman soldier in Bethlehem is in this manger. That wasn't how it was supposed to go. But yeah, Little Drummer Boy is one of those songs where the title is not in the song. At no time do they go, you know, hey, little drummer boy, how are you doing? Or anything like that. It's just, you know. Yeah, in fact, they don't even make a
big deal. It's kind of implied.
implied, yes, but the song, the, you know, there's, there should,
they don't even mention
name.
He's little. Yeah.
There should be a name for the kind of song that has the lyric without the title. There should be a name for that, but there isn't. I don't think there is.
Well, in that case, it's from the Little Drummer Boy's perspective, so it would be weird if he had to introduce himself. Because that's one, true. He is little, so he wouldn't go like, I'm the little drummer boy. Everyone around would go, well, you're a small guy with a drum. Yeah, enough said. Thanks a lot.
But that's only part of what's really fucked up about the little drummer boy.
I would like to hear the other little, part. Yeah.
Little, like he's not, it doesn't say in the song he's little, right? At no time does it say, he is little, pum, 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 or anything
again,
like that.
Again, it's from his perspective. He would probably not call himself little, but okay.
He wouldn't, and no one in the song does. So it's kind of, a lot of people hate that song. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a movement afoot, in fact, that I have been made aware of about people who just hate it because it's such an earworm that, you know, they hate it. So I'm going to do a version of it that deals with the little aspect.
Okay.
Of it. It this is the littleness is the point drummer boy.
Okay.
That's what it's called. Okay. Little baby, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. You guys can do the pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Sure thing, we're on it. Okay.
Your infant is tiny, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That newborn's very small, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. He has no heft at all, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Heat some formula, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Or I'll call the Ministry of Child Services. You all like ministers so much, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That really turned out good.
Thanks. It was nice because it was right out of my range. Yeah, it was like that one note beyond comfort.
You could have gone down an octave.
I could have.
Yeah.
Ba-rum-pa-bum-bum.
Yeah. You could have done the
when we do this
too.
Show for real,
yeah. Could have done a harmony.
I could have done a harmony. Could've listen,
David
listen.
Crosby would have come up with something great.
But then he would have insulted you and put down your skill as a musician.
And then you would have opened up your presence from him, and it's his sperm, which is the gift he gives every year to different musicians. And strange enough, only one has ever used it.
Really? That's true. Yeah.
Speaking of...
Come all ye faithful?
Speaking of sperm or sorry, David Crosby?
I'm going to speak for my generation now, which is slightly older than your guys' generation.
All right, you're talking about your generation.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. I wish I was dead. Never mind. I hope I die before I die. But, you know, with us, we're so... stuck up on ourselves, kind of like we're up ourselves and stuck on ourselves simultaneously. Yeah. Stuck up on ourselves, and you know, we just obsess about this, all this, you know, when we were kids, all the stuff that was going on that was cool and hip and stuff, and you know, that's why there's this fetishization of, you know, like the Rat Pack and stuff with my age group. Your age group is more like with the comic books and the, you know, that kind of stuff. So Dean Martin knew at the time, like in the early 60s, that it was just, it meant nothing. And it was really, it was someday everyone would twig to that fact also, and it would all be over. He knew that. You know, you got to give Dean Martin credit for that and for dying on Christmas Day, thus immortalizing himself in the annals of Christmas. But, you know, what my generation really likes about that stuff from that era is it was a time where white men ran everything and everybody looked to white men to run everything. And it was just, you know, one heck of a great party for white men back then. But it started to curdle. Dean saw it was coming. It started to curdle. And this little song, I'm just going to play a bit of it because, frankly, the rest of it will have to wait till next year because I'm not going to finish writing it before Sunday. But this is the idea.
We are a lazy generation. That's a good point.
This is a song that would have been done, not Frank Sinatra would have rejected it for a Christmas album, but Tony Fontaine or Tony Martin, possibly even Frank Sinatra Jr., if he snuck off and didn't tell his dad what he was up to, would do a song like this and not get that times were changing even as they were doing it. And I think when I do this, I think you'll understand what I'm getting at here. It is at the point where the dream for us, I was a kid at the time, but for the dream of the white man was dissipating. And this is the exact point. I'm trying to really nail it down to, like, you know.
You're going
to
Mad Men this point, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, like, they would have done the session for the Christmas album in, like, August 1961.
Okay, got it.
So, right. Kennedy's still around and will be for a while, but something's off. Because, mm-hmm. you know, something's off. And the person who would do this song, which is called Christmas Is for Children, would just think it was really cool, a really cool Christmas thing. And maybe Frank will ask me to the Christmas party this year if he digs this thing that I do. So it's called Christmas Is for Children.
All right. And, okay. Looking forward to it and a little scared. Okay. Let's
I'm just going to do everything in A because, you know.
You're Canadian.
This is why I come on this podcast. Because I've been invited and because, you know. You know, the feedback you get is so instant and so. Anyways. Okay. No, I'm not going to do it in the A. Okay. Okay. I didn't work this out.
No. Because all these people are now really anticipating, hey, it's all going to be an A, and they're all huddled around their radios.
That's right.
And, like, it's not an A, and one little child has a tear going down his cheek right now. It's his hopes for the A, but okay, go ahead.
But the guy who has already put his fingers on E on his guitar is just thrilled. Christmas is for children, but not just any children. Christmas is for children, the ones got shot from me. Santa, bring some spare toys for my spare girls and boys. Oh, so many children I shoot prolifically.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. So, you know, the Clueless.
You know, I like the setup to song ratio that we're developing here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, I got a million.
What I like to imagine now is, where can the song go?
Yeah.
Like, where can
you'll
you go
find
after
out
that?
Next year, Dave.
Yeah, I'll have to wait
just
now.
Settle down.
Wow.
And this is good, because now we got to have you back on next year.
It's kind of like you've written yourself a cliffhanger. You've written your song into a dead end. And now you've got to go. Do you remember that show, Cliffhanger?
Of course, with Dracula. With
Susan Anton was an actor.
Yeah, there was,
she had one part
Dracula
of
was in it. There mm-hmm. was one about a city in the middle of the earth. That was another, and there was Western
yeah.
as well.
That's
yeah,
right. They're all bad, but they all each episode ended with a cliffhanger.
That's right, and that's just like what the that show song. Was all about.
Yeah, that's why it was called Cliffhanger.
What?
Yeah.
No. There was a
character
called Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, and it was completely unrelated. That they also had like a Dracula thing that's and a right. thing underneath the earth.
And his funny brother clothes.
What was funny about it?
Just his name. After that, they ran out of ideas. That show is kind of bankrupt of any idea, really.
Did they do a Christmas show ever?
I don't think it made it that far.
Christmas with Dracula?
No, yeah. No, Cliffhanger, the show you're talking about.
Yeah. I know, but Dracula was on the show.
Yeah.
So if they all had a Christmas episode, one, there'd be Christmas at the center of the earth, meaning they would have to know about Jesus at the center of the earth and have a parallel thing. Western, I guess they would have a Christmas episode of the Western.
Sure.
But then Dracula, there'd have to be Christmas with Dracula, and I'm not sure how he'd celebrate Christmas. Have to be at night.
So there is no Christmas show of the show you're talking about.
Listen, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know. I remember it.
It just popped in my head. I'm sorry.
I'm shaking my head.
I'm sorry. It's not our.
He's shaking his head Beatles style.
when is this going to be like potable? This one.
This okay. Episode? Well, if anyone is listening to the show right now, it's already been uploaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for you though. This will be on Saturday probably.
Saturday. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, because I was going to do the song that I thought Lisa would like.
Okay.
But don't let her listen to it, because I might do it at the show. Probably will.
Well, Lisa can't listen to this episode because Dave has racked up a lot of parking tickets, and she can never hear this show.
Never hear the show, no. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think out.
Yeah. It's Christmas time for the city with Dave's money in its coffers. anyways, yeah, so this is for Lisa, and she can sing this to her horsey set at the horsey sets things.
Okay.
You know, that it's designed for that.
So. Oh, wow.
Oh, nice one.
Okay, when we're sipping our mint juleps at Kentucky Derby, we will sing this song.
Yeah. One horse sleigh, one horse sleigh, one horse open sleigh. Oh, what fun we all could have with a second horse in play. Hey, one horse sleigh, one horse sleigh, one horsepower sleigh. Give that nag some extra oats when you put the horse away.
Wow. That's so true, though.
It is true. You know, I was in the park. This is about a week ago. I was in the park just I think it's called Victoria Park with the dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dogs are running around a bit. And I heard a little girl start singing the song it's based on. And that is what I heard. It wasn't what she sang, but it's what I heard. I heard one horse sleigh. I didn't hear, jingle bells. I heard one horse sleigh. So that's where it came from.
Well, a little girl cares about horses. She doesn't care about bells.
They don't, yeah.
Well, it's a big deal to a little girl about bells. Who gives a shit? But, you know, horses, excellent. Make the, that's the best part of the song. Make it all about the horses.
Horses give a shit.
Lots of it. Horses, you know, horses and bells... And jingling, none of it has anything to do with Christmas, and it's one of many songs that are like that, that are associated with Christmas and yet have nothing to do with Christmas at all, you know.
Another song like that is Hell's Bells. Nothing to do with Christmas, yet amazingly popular at Christmas time.
Also the national anthem. Are we just listing songs? Happy Birthday as well. Well, no, Happy Birthday actually would. Actually, if that would be appropriate, frankly, now that I think about it.
AC/DC has a Christmas song, Mistress for Christmas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, actually, I have the CD, promotional CD single of it that has that grinning schoolboy character pulling a full-size woman out of a giant stocking. I'm not kidding. It's for real.
So I hope the rest of the sign rhymes better than their title.
They actually rhyme mistress and Christmas. That's as close as they come to doing any serious rhyming.
Normally when we hear a siren, we would all take a drink. But in this case, they're towing Dave's car. So
drink some eggnog.
Yeah, that's right. So drinks something. It's a sad drink this time for David. And once again, Lisa can never hear this.
Yeah, don't listen to the show, dear.
Do not listen to
I'm telling you while you're listening to the show that you should not listen to this show.
That's right. You've listened enough.
You've heard enough of me.
You're right. You listened last week.
You live with me.
Yeah, so clearly you guys are on the outs. Last week, Christmas tree fell on her. You didn't help her. That's the way this Christmas special begins.
That's the origin story of Mrs. Claus. A Christmas tree falls on her, and next thing she knows, she's Mrs. Claus.
That's right. That's how he traps a wife every year. People don't know it's a different Mrs. Claus every year.
She gets fattened up.
That's right.
And cornmeal put into her hair. It makes it look gray.
Mrs. Claus is always in quotes.
That's right. You know, why are you with all those elves? Now I got a wife. Do you? Yeah, right here, Mrs. Claus. Okay. Whatever you say, St. Nick.
Santa had a beard.
Yeah, that's a good song. Dave, write that one for next year. Santa had a beard. Her name was Mrs. Claus.
He had the beard.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Dude, I haven't seen the set list. I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of good King Wenceslas, good King Wenceslas is probably the... you're going to get hate whatever you get when you do a podcast, but... Good King
usually just ignoring us.
Okay, good. Well,
a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, that's what gets you. It's not that people are opposed to you. It's the indifference. That's what gets you.
Only thing worse than being talked about is whatever happened to Oscar Wilde when he got talked about.
What he was doing that made them talk about him. Really,
one thing worse than being talked about is forced labor and then being forced to emigrate.
That pretty much was the joke I made. Yeah, okay, good. Okay.
Well, I was agreeing with you.
Worse than being talked about. But Good King Wenceslas
is
the worst Christmas carol.
What?
Why? Yep.
That's a controversial position to take.
But it's a wonderful tune.
No, no. The tune was stolen from another song.
The Beatles?
Don't start about the Beatles. Don't start.
That's a different podcast.
The U.S. albums. Don't start. So, Jean Ritchie in 1957 did a Christmas album. She's hardcore folk, so she's doing these serious, excavating these songs and doing them. But she did the song that the melody for Good King Wenceslas was stolen from, which was from like even before the 9th century or 10th century. She
drink
says
eggnog,
in her
everybody.
Liner notes that she critiques the lyrics of Good King Wenceslas to point out that she's doing really the right version, and that Good King Wenceslas, the narrative is so unfocused and pointless, it makes no sense. You can't even tell what happens at the end. Like, does Good King Wenceslas die on his way to give some food to some poor people, like, in the snow, and sends his servant or whatever he is on to keep going? Like, it just leaves them there with the food. No one's got any food yet. And he's dead, or, but it's stupid. It's a stupid, it's the worst. It's the worst one.
And he doesn't try to rhyme Wenceslas, which is like, that seems the only reason to have that song written.
Well, this is why I have 5 versions now of Good King Wenceslas. I'm going to be debuting Good King Wenceslas 3, the one with Venom, on Sunday. That's actual Venom, not the other kind. But there's 5 others. I'll probably do a couple of them. The one that's on YouTube is actually technically it's Good King Wenceslas 1B is the one that's on. I'm going to do 1A right now.
This is getting confusing. I've lost
track. Well, people have their files. They're all sorting through them while listening to the show.
Everybody. Yeah, they can pause, rewind, and go through
it. Remember, take notes here.
Yeah, yeah. So 1B mm-hmm. is on YouTube, and so is Good King Wenceslas 2. Both of those are on there. Okay. Good King Wenceslas 3, the one with Venom, is going to be done at this one. And then Good King Wenceslas 4.
The Quickening.
Also, nope.
Oh. No. Because really, when you get that high up, you need a subtitle. Season of the Witch?
Yeah. No. I know The Quickening is humor shorthand for something to add to indicate
that's
pointless
right.
sequel.
Thank you.
It's better than Electric Boogaloo.
Doesn't apply.
I think I upped it. I think I went to a different...
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah. Electric Boogaloo is so, stupid sounding that it throws it off. The Quickening is definitely better. It just doesn't apply here.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways.
I'm glad you're so serious about your Wenceslases.
Well, I have a right to be, and let me prove it.
Okay, all right.
Good King Wenceslas looked out. He wished his name was Stephen. He asked his dad, Wenceslas the Elder, why is our name Wenceslas? Wenceslas the Elder didn't know either. He said, your grandfather's name was also Wenceslas, and we've never understood where the name came from. It's not like there's a lot of things in this world you can point at and say, that's Wenceslas, and I too am Wenceslas. Meanwhile, in the alley out back, Bob Wenceslas III, the milkman, slipped out of the queen's bed chamber and slid silently into the night.
Nice.
There you go. See, mine makes sense.
No, you totally make
sense. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, I think so.
You nailed it. And that was...
That's the definitive version.
That was 4 or was that 3?
That was 4.
That was 1A.
Oh, that was 1A. Yeah. I lost count. I hope someone's written this down.
That
please mail it.
Last Blood.
Mail it to Last Blood.
Now I'm going to do the song Dave wants me to do.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce it?
It's called the Dave song?
It is.
I don't need to introduce it. Do I have to introduce? Do I?
You asked for it.
This makes me nervous. I asked for it.
I can't introduce it. I'm
just joking, you guys.
Why are we fighting on Christmas? Why do we always have to ruin Christmas?
That's part of Christmas.
I'm going to my room.
Everyone's going to know because it's it's one of those claymation specials.
That's right.
A Calico Gingerbread Christmas.
Yes.
Here's a list of Christmas things. Boulders? Wait. Here's a list of... I'm sitting down is the problem.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry for making you too comfortable.
Yeah, we apologize.
That's our fault.
Actually, my ass hurts.
We'll bring a bed of nails next time.
Here's a list of Christmas things. Boulders, rice, and poo. It's a calico gingerbread Christmas. And we're screaming the whole day through. Crazy reindeer, tasty wine, lines that end with poo. It's a calico gingerbread Christmas, here with calico gingerbread you. Hold on, hold on, I've lost my train of thought. Turkey dressing, Betty Page, Betty Davis poo. It's a calico gingerbread Christmas, and we're fighting the Asian flu. Yuletide shopping, jingle sperm, being struck by poo. It's a calico gingerbread Christmas, here with calico gingerbread you. And a gingham eggnog New Year too. Poo. I left out part because we're shortening everything.
Oh, well,
to hear the entire version, you have to come to the show.
This is the Reader's Digest.
This is the Reader's Digest version. Yeah. And really,
we're all doing humor in uniform, by the way. I didn't mention that. We're all dressed as different members of the military.
Yeah, blood and fire.
The Salvation Army?
Yeah. The listener couldn't see was me giggling at the mention of poo, which is really why I dislike that song, because it says poo a lot.
That's why the song exists.
It never fails to make me laugh. I've listened to it for many, many years, and yet I still laugh.
Paul Leahy, the great Paul Leahy from No Fun, I wrote the song to make him laugh. That's all. That was the only reason. I just thought, I'll just have a song where poo keeps getting mentioned, and every time I do it, he'll laugh. So I said, hey, I want to show you this song, and it worked perfectly. Always has.
Too well. Then you hooked Dave in as well, and then he ended up with a card boy.
Poo.
Listen, I just realized something. Hmm? David asked us to help him sing along to the first song after hearing our voices.
Never again.
No dice.
No.
That was the end of it. We had the audition, and that was the end of that.
You caused several wine glasses to break in the restaurant downstairs.
That's true.
Yeah, you hit a high C.
By the way, this is really good so far.
Mm-hmm.
This show.
Yeah,
if there's any awards for shows, we should try putting into that.
Just cut ourselves out a bit.
Oh, cut ourselves out completely. We are out of this show. No one's going to hear a damn thing we said. Don't worry about that. We could say some military secrets, and no one would fucking hear. It's all going to be David's songs. Okay.
Claws will tear us apart again. That's all.
That's your, what's that, a tribute to?
Nothing. It's a tribute to nothing. It's a tribute to Claws tearing you apart.
Yeah. Okay. Why does it have to be a tribute to anything? Why do you always got to read that second level?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to take off your critic hat, man. You know, we're all just enjoying.
I can't help it. It's just a
just because Claus sounds like the second word in Santa Claus. You
just jump to conclusions. I can't help it.
The magic of Christmas has affected your mind. Like you know, the cop gives you magically a ticket, and you just are goofy.
Yeah, it was the first gift of Christmas.
That was strange. Yeah. Can I do your My Decepticon?
Yep.
Absolutely, you can.
Because toys are at Christmas. And frankly, they keep making Transformers movies. Eventually, they have to ask me to put the song in.
I think it could happen very soon.
It has it has a country feel to it, which is, current,
I think it'll be Transformers 5, The Quickening.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's better than my joke, which was Sad News About Optimus Prime.
What was that?
They found him dead. Autobotic asphyxiation.
Then it leads us into this then. But you transformed into some kind of B-I-T-C-H. Hear my Decepticon. My toaster with a gun. My servant's name is Juan. With Tim McGraw, he gets it on. As sure as Tim McGraw is gay. His pretend wife's name Faith. There's more than meets the eye. Don't cry. Oh my. Bye bye Decepticon. Fly fly high, Decepticon. You're my Decepticons and Transformers are registered trademarks of the Hasbro Corporation and Paramount Pictures. Con.
Well, I do think that will be in the movie Transformers 5. Or it could be in Transforcers 5, the films that are made that are kind of
I wasn't
like,
even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking the knockoff movies of the Transformers?
Yeah.
Those are the Transmorpher films, dude.
These are different knockoffs. These are knockoffs of Transmorphers.
Yeah. Oh, they are knockoffs of Transmorphers.
Yeah. This is to fool people into think they're getting the knockoff films of Transformers. Because there's a market now for those films. I don't know if you knew that. People like to buy those movies because they're bad films and they can laugh at them while they're watching them because it's ironical and they're hipsters.
Why are you making rabbits with your fingers right now?
I don't know. I got carried away.
Are those air quotes?
There was a lot of air quotes.
We had a conversation about this. You don't use air quotes on the air.
And
why are they called air quotes?
Yeah. I use them on the air.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right.
Good point.
Yeah. I stand corrected,
yes,
fellas.
You do.
The Daves are ganging up on you. Yeah.
I learned my Christmas lesson.
So,
because rabbits are for Easter, goddammit. There'll be time to kill Jesus later.
You know.
This is part of
it. You can only do it once. Or can you?
If he died on his birthday like Shakespeare, would this just be like one crazy holiday? Like, would you have to stick both of them together?
I think, if he died on his birthday like Dean Martin, you meant to say.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I get where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Joe Strummer did as well. Died on Christmas Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn.
Was it a murder-suicide pact with Dean Martin?
No, but just imagine the incredible duets those two are doing up there, eh?
I hope they didn't die from autobiotic asphyxiation.
We all hope that. We all hope that.
And the last word was Shia, and then just they was gone.
That guy copies things, I hear.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, he's a copycat.
Yeah, I heard that he actually copied the idea for the Transformers movie from a toy line.
He copied the idea of starring in the Transformers movies.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that too. Like, it wasn't his idea to act in a movie.
I'm actually suspecting this is all a big hoax. Like, this seems so dumb. It's one of those things you think like, it's going to be a big publicity thing for it. And I'll be in on it. That's what I think.
But, okay.
Nah, he could just be a big dummy. That's too bad.
Like, how could you? Yeah. I mean, we've all done it. We've all written essays in school. So
right. I wrote Ghost World once.
Yeah.
And then someone went, Ghost World's already done.
I don't mean we copied Dan Close, but I mean, we have all, had a little help writing an essay.
Okay.
You know, I don't think anyone here can put up their hand and say they haven't had a little help from a book,
And that book is?
Oh, whatever. Just, you needed some help. You
want Dianetics.
Dianetics. That's right. And once you were clear, you were able to write your essay. It was fine after that.
We should have a clear Christmas, guys. Well, I think David has another song.
David has another song he wants to.
You think that?
He has another song he wants to introduce.
No, I was just shuffling the papers.
Oh, okay.
I have a lot of Christmas material because this is like the 28th year in a row of either No Fun or Christmas Alone in No Fun City. There being a Christmas show in Vancouver. And, instead of like, winnowing things down to what works, I just keep adding stuff that, is iffy. Because I'd like to stay interested.
Sure.
But, like that 12 Gifts of Christmas is a classic game.
Oh, well, yeah. Of course it is, because I hold the cards for it.
Yeah, I'm going to name check a couple of classics and go, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Extuvavavavav.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Five V's.
I have a great story about that song. I'll tell you one day.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Save it.
Yeah, I'll save it.
Yeah, don't put it on the air. Don't put the great story on. If you got a mediocre story,
I'll tell it. In 1992, this would be 21 years ago, we did the Christmas show at the Vancouver East Cultural Center, and Dave participated.
That's true.
And it was very memorable. It was a very memorable evening. We did a little play in the middle.
Yes.
Where...
I did the Linus part.
Well, it's kind of tacked onto the play. There's a little play where me and Paul are laughing about there being no Santa, and Pico's going, "Oh, you boys are bad." And then we go away, and then Paul comes back dressed as Santa, only he's actually Santa. So he's playing two roles himself and Santa. And he's going on about, "Ho, ho, ho, I'm so goddamn fat and stuff." So he goes away, and then Paul and I come back, and then we're all full of Christmas spirit. And then Pico goes, well, this is great. You have the Christmas spirit. And I go, yeah, I wish Santa had tried to kill me sooner. And Paul goes, me neither, which is actually funny in context.
It's a running thing. Yeah.
And then Paul goes, no, that's not what Christmas is all about. And then he says, here's someone who tells what Christmas is all about. It's Linus, only, which is what always happens in the play, except in this case, it was, it's TV's Luke Perry as Linus. He's the new James Dean. So you want to reprise your role?
Oh, I'll just do a little bit of it because it's hard to remember now. I just did the Linus part, right? And I just went like,
well, just
and there were the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. And then I would break off and go, you're tearing me apart. The classic line from Rebel Without a Cause. Then I would continue on with the thing. And I would do that several times. And I would get more and more hammy as I went.
But he's only doing It's Tearing Me Apart.
Yeah, that's all I did.
You're tearing me apart.
Then I did a little bit more. English. And the final one, I just really hammed it up. And I leaned backwards and I fell over. I fell over and my arms went back. And I hit Paul's guitar, which was leaning there. His very expensive Les Paul Gibson guitar.
And Paul is standing on the stage watching this.
And I don't know what happened after that.
Look of horror, and you saved it.
I somehow dexterously, after knocking it over, was able to catch it before it fell to the ground.
Nice. None of us were close enough to save it. So we're watching in horror in this play.
As it slow motion fell.
and then off he went. And
after I saved it and put it back up, then I just kind of left. I slunk away, feeling terrible.
And then everybody goes except Paul. And Paul goes over behind the amplifier. That's why you were over by there.
Yeah.
And he pulls out this jigsaw puzzle of it says Beverly Hills 901, whatever number that is. It's Luke Perry. And he goes, hey, look what Santa left. I guess he really was a rebel without a claws. then he runs off the stage. So that was 21 years ago, and the shows have only gotten worse since
now. Are you the longest running Christmas show in Vancouver? That's my question.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say you would be, for sure.
Yeah, fuck it snowing on Salt Spring. I mean,
they became blowing on Bowen for a while. They
took breaks, and they've revamped it this year. Oh, boy. Gee. It's snowing on Bernice Snarpley. Oh, yeah.
I'm not getting any of the references.
No, it's really interesting.
Oh, no, if she's
someone's really sticking it to that place. Finally.
Somebody's going to find Nicola Cavendish and say, you should listen to this. It's terrible.
You on your high horse, Nicola Cavendish.
Then she'll freak out. I mean, you know, ever since I saw that Sookie and Lee movie, that...
Shirt Bus?
Year of the Carnivus?
Yeah.
Carnivore, I mean? Year of the Carnivus.
Which actually...
It's a combination of Year of the...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Part of the plot is the guy the girl likes is a guitar player for this band called No Fun. There's posters, No Fun, it says. The thing was filmed in Surrey and, like what?
Seemed a bit odd.
It seems a little...
I wonder where the idea popped into her head to have a band called No Fun based in Surrey.
I'm just going to say, she made us a lovely chicken dinner one night.
She did, actually.
She made David and I a chicken and dinner one night.
We had a really good spitting contest. We had a good spitting contest, and we got in trouble from a documentary film crew for being too noisy off to the side.
And at that dinner, David said, why don't you do a film about a band called No Fun?
Yeah, I did say that.
It's probably the best name for a band I've ever heard of. And that's where that probably happened.
Well, it's not like she didn't know. You know, she knew.
She knew. She knew who she was. She's from Vancouver.
She's
being coy.
She's a real Shia LaBeouf, is what you're saying.
Well,
here's what I
have to say about that is it's too bad the movie is have you seen it?
No, I have not seen that.
I watched a bit of it.
Oh man, it's torture to watch. But it was so terrible that I'm sorry it's so terrible, because if it was like a good movie and a big hit, then I could, you know, sue her.
So. Make a fuss about it. Yeah. I don't know if you could. So you think you could sue her, really? You could sue her?
Sure, absolutely.
For?
She filmed it in Surrey. Well, there's, well, yeah.
Does she need your permission?
It's a bylaw. Come on.
And then do a film called Sue, can you?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do a film.
Yeah, let's put the Sue back in.
Lee. Do a film called Year of the Herbivore with a band based in Vancouver called Sukyin Lee.
It's really a hard name to say.
It is,
isn't
yeah.
It?
Like it's hard
we're
to
trying
say quickly.
To deliver a
yeah.
joke with it.
Yeah.
It was a lovely dinner, though, that we
it
had.
It was a nice dinner. And like I say, the spinning contest was also fun.
Yeah.
Although we got in trouble.
Sukyin Lee. Anyways, my wife's going to Poland on Sunday, so she won't be able to make the show. So here now is Christmas in Poland.
Oh, okay.
Christmas in Poland, it's time to get rolling. The horses are foaling. Let's go Christmas bowling. Oh, quit your cajoling. I'm still here extolling for Christmas in Poland. Ooh-ee. It's a good thing folk music's coming back, eh?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be real popular soon. The sound of a white guy singing and an acoustic guitar.
Sooner it comes back, sooner it can go away again.
Precisely. Christmas in Holland is sometimes appalling when Germany's sprawling and Europe is falling. But quit your damn balling when Santa comes calling for Christmas in Holland. Ooh-ee. Christmas in India, folks. It's Christmas in India. Folks sure are thindia. Homes made of tindia. Nobody grins ya, kin to ya. No one's named Flindia. Christmas in India, rupee. It's good, isn't it? Christmas in Mount Pleasant, dinner without pheasant, no lights and no presents, expectations lessened, drug deals are incessant, come down and count peasants, Christmas in Mount Pleasant, E. Christmas in Edmonton, so cold you're Deadmonton, Kent's big bald Headmonton, so right said Fredmonton, Oprah quit Stedmonton to be a lesbian. Christmas in Edmund Chuck E. Christmas in Sask, such a grim task, feelings you mask. No warmth to bask in, drink from your flask. Get in your casket, it's Christmas in Sask. Ooh-ee. Christmas at my place, you oughta see my face. Here's artwork that I've traced. At dinner, I say grace, then spray you with my mace. Don't violate my space at Christmas at my place, ooh-ee. This is the octave, so this is the last one.
Okay.
And it's personal for me. Christmas at Chapters, you don't hear much laughter. It's packed to the rafters, folks shopping like raptors. So bow to your captors, you'll need some booze after your Christmas in Chapters. Ooh-ee. Christmas in Poland. Ooh-ee.
That was great.
Oh, that was good.
The gift of many fake endings that almost made me start talking.
Endless, yeah. I got a couple more verses.
Your rhyming dictionary must be worn down to a nub.
I never use one. I never use one because I find it limits me. You know? Well, it does, you know, because the bad rhymes are where the action
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
True. That's true.
The building manager here was here warming up the place earlier, draining the radiator, and so we could get some heat. And,
yeah, draining the radiator. That's what I say, too.
Oh, I don't quite understand that. I was saying, there's going to be some music in here, and he was like, all right, that's fine. But I know he's worried about musicians moving into the building.
Okay.
He doesn't mind the guitars, but he says sometimes it leads to horns, and he doesn't want any of that shit.
No. Always leads. Blade Storm.
Yeah. Right, so that's always his big fear. Mm. So as long as there's no horns in this show, I'm just giving you the heads up now.
We will not stage a New Orleans funeral here in this office.
Oh, I'm scared after that James Bond movie, and they actually like, kill a guy and just, oh, it's creepy.
Hey, where are you from, Ian?
Originally from Montreal.
Okay. Christmas, where Ian's from. Pudding from Ian's plums comes out of Ian's bum. That's kinda Ian dumb. I'm making Ian glum. What are you, Ian's mum? Christmas at Ian's martini.
There you go.
I feel like someone just did a caricature of me.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you like hey, soccer? Do you like soccer?
Yeah, what do you like? What do you like wearing? That's good. There you go.
Yeah. It's always so personalized. My brothers, we all had one done at Disneyland. We were all playing soccer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you're all big soccer fans.
Yeah, of course. Just love it.
Or as the Europeans call it, football soccer.
Football
soccer.
Yeah, they do. I'm agreeing. I'm agreeable.
And tuning your guitar. It feels awkward when you're playing because then I feel like I'm stepping on what you're doing, so... Are you going to sing a song?
No, that's the beautiful thing about it is, you know, if I don't sing, then it's just underscore.
Oh, okay.
You're like one of those talk-over DJs.
Yeah. Then
who just yaps and, like,
that's right.
Means you can't record the damn song.
I think that's what they did.
Shut up, you're saying.
I think that's where they did it.
Well, they used to do special extra-long intro versions for DJs.
Oh, was that right?
They did. Yeah.
Like when?
When there was DJs.
There's still DJs, but I don't think they do much in terms of, like when I worked at the radio station, we had to put the record on and then put the needle into place, and then you used your finger and you manually turned the record till you got a little bit of sound.
And then you had to get those two dogs and put them right towards that gramophone speaker, because unless they're both looking at it directly, it will not work properly.
So you get the sound, and then you have to back it up a turn or and a half, so that when you start it, it doesn't go... So, you know, it gives it time to start, and so then you say, well, this is... so-and-so with such-and-such, and then you press the little button, and then it starts the player. And then this is you say such-and-such, then you ideally the song just starts after you finish.
C-Fox, the DJ, would sometimes sing at the very end.
Oh, that's true.
Would join in, which
is
what you want.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's because he probably just came back in. One of the most popular songs at lunchtime when I was a kid was that Eric Burdon song, Sky Pilot, because it's so long, they can go outside and have a cigarette while the song's playing, and then come back in. And... Oh, you're doing the bagpipe part. I thought you were doing the actual song.
Sky Pilot.
Puff, puff, smoke, have a cigarette. Yeah. Okay.
He's going to find out. 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 Santa Claus is going to find out. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out. Seek legal advice. Santa Claus is gonna find out. He sees us when you're sleeping. His drones know you're awake. He's gonna find out what you did. So admit your big mistake. So he's gonna find out. He's gonna find out the quality of your gifts is in doubt. Santa Claus is coming. He's the big fat man in the unmarked van. Santa's no surveillance pays off.
Oh, thanks.
You can tell that's a modern one because drones are mentioned.
Drones, yeah.
Yeah. Not like those previous songs with the fax machines and 56K modems.
The telex.
Yeah. Yeah. Those ones date themselves. They're still classics.
Still classics.
True. You know, guys.
I know
what
some
is
guys.
It, David? What is it, David? What?
Hey, fellas, are we just talking? What's going on?
Yeah, we're just having a little.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that after that Inside Llewyn Davis movie comes out, that people will find the whole idea of a white guy with an acoustic guitar ridiculous. I really hope that.
Wait, is the movie called, did you call it Llewyn Davis?
Yeah.
It's not Llewellyn Davis?
No, Dave, it's not. Oh. See, you look at it and you see Llewellyn, but it's always been Llewyn.
You know, I heard he ripped that off from Daniel Clowes' Lloyd Llewellyn comic.
I heard that they ripped it off in the movie they did before that one.
I heard the cat has a character called Llewellyn. He actually plays the guitar in the design.
That's the guy's name in What's that movie called? No Country for Old Men.
Is it?
That's the Josh Brolin character. His name's Llewellyn.
Well, they're paring it down. They're artists. They're narrowing it down to its essence.
That's right. How many names do you need?
Also, now that Fargo's going to be a TV show, they got to keep that in mind for all the movies. Well, this spinoff
all the characters,
into a procedural series.
All the characters except for Marge in that show are called Llewellyn.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're going to do a Raising Arizona where they kidnap a different baby every week.
You know, guys...
I know, guy. Wait, did I just miss some time? I'm having blackouts, fellas. I'm a little scared.
That's what Christmas is all about. Okay. You know, a lot of artists like myself, lesser artists, me and everyone I know, in other words, we learn to do what we do by copying the greats. And at this time of year, you can hear a lot of the echoes of, say, Frank Sinatra, ring-a-ding-ding, and the great Michael Bublé, who, that fucker gets a pass from me because he's a Canucks fan. I resent that so much, but gotta be, I have to, I love the guy. I hate him. If he was here, I'd punch him in the face, like, without even knowing what I was doing. But I love him. Canucks fan.
Well, you're touring, I can tell.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Christmas is for mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a time of mixed emotions.
But, you know, the greatest and most miraculous of all... I can't believe I'm introducing this song.
We can talk about Michael Bublé a little longer. I'm going to have a Bublé Christmas without you. Unless that's the song you're about to play and I feel like a real dick.
No, you okay. Don't have to worry about me covering that fucker.
Give
him a pass.
What about his collection of Disney songs? Bublé, Bublé, Toil and Trouble. Oh no, it's a collection of Shakespearean songs. Shit. Can we pretend I didn't say that? Can we
say again?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, Mickey Macbeth is the last time you did that.
Sleeping Hamlet.
I think you're gonna find. I think you're gonna find the underscore adds a lot to this show when you put it together.
Makes it hard to edit.
Jingle Cats. They are the greatest and most miraculous of all Christmas artists. And as you know, to me, if I think something has not been done before, and I think of it, I must do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like having a show where no one is admitted. No one has done that. There's been private parties. There's been, you know, restricted shows and stuff. But this is an actual show that is happening that no one will be admitted to. And I'm doing it. So when everybody else starts trying to do it.
You were there first.
I was there first. Yeah. And nobody covers the Jingle Cats, but I do. All right, here we go. The Jingle Cats special guest Tom Waits.
Silent Night. Shepherds quake. Glory streams from. Heavenly hosts sing. Christ the Savior is. Bo
Dave, that reminds me. Mm-hmm. I got you the Jingle Cats, their live album. They recorded at the SPCA, their holiday album.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called Christmas with All the Fixins.
That's nice. Very good.
Can I steal that?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. Here's something that always bothered me about that Chipmunk song, where the Chipmunks are singing about their Christmas, and Dave's yelling at them.
Yes.
Like, the Chipmunks are doing all the work. He's living off their work.
Yeah.
He does fuck all. Mm-hmm. Dave does nothing. One, try to find three other singing Chipmunks, you jerk. You're lucky to have found one. God help you, three.
Yeah.
And now you're just abusing them. Mm-hmm. On, and you're using that take.
Yeah.
You could do another take.
And yet, the song was a gigantic hit. Just as is. And you know why? As usual, you're missing the point.
All right.
As usual.
All right.
It's become a debating.
The greatest Christmas songs, all written by Jews. All of them. All of the greatest Christmas songs.
Are you confusing Chipmunks with Jews?
No. I'm saying that the Chipmunks are a proxy, if you will have it, for Christmas artists doing Christmas music. And Dave, real name Ross, what's he got to hide, is Jewish. You see how it all works?
Okay.
He's hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
He is the mastermind behind it all. You'll find if you record, as I've done, if you record the Chipmunks' work onto a reel-to-reel tape and play it back at half speed, you will hear normal human voices, and it's the normal human voice of Dave, a.k.a. Ross. So, the whole thing, and what people love about it, is subconsciously they realize that Christmas is a gift from the Jews.
True.
And they love it. They love it. Neil Diamond's got three Christmas albums. Three. Barbra Streisand has three at least, maybe a fourth one. So you got to give it up to the Jews, of whom I may in fact actually be one, as it turns out. But, it's a gift from the Jews.
If you need to go to the bathroom and check,
you can.
Are you guys ready to sing?
Oh, sure. All right. Okay. I just had a lozenge. I feel good.
Squeeze your balls.
Do I get to play Dave? My name is Dave.
No.
Oh.
No, you're just gonna sing.
Okay.
I'm serious about squeezing your balls. You're gonna need it. Ready?
All right. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Christmas time is near. Time for toys and time for cheer. We've been good, but we can't last. Christmas, hurry fast. Want a plane that loops the loop? Me, I want a hula hoop. We can hardly stand the wait. Please, Christmas, don't be late.
Now you guys talk. Come on, you talk.
Oh, we talk? Like, what do we say? Like,
this is usual stuff
that we talk about?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah?
Except you have to talk in the chipmunk voice.
Chipmunk voice, gotcha.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? I miss the lab we used to be in.
Yes, I miss all the experiments that used to be done on us.
I know. It's just so commercial now, us doing this. We used to cure cancer.
They did the experiments on me.
I know, but we were the placebos.
After all this, I just feel neutered.
I say we kill Dave in his sleep. I never trusted anyone named Dave. What
Key
the hell for that name?
Want a plane that loops the loop. I still want a hula hoop.
That's hard.
We can hardly stand the wait. Please, Christmas, don't be late.
Big finish.
Oh,
we can hardly stand the wait. Please, Christmas, don't be late.
Hey guys, I got some bad news.
Yeah.
Christmas is late, and now we're all Father Christmas. We're gonna have to raise Christmas's baby.
Raise Christmas? Was that how?
That's right.
Three Father Christmases and a baby.
That's right. Because oh, okay. Christmas is late.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I got you. Whatever you said.
Well, you see, fellas, when a lady misses her menstrual cycle, it's a sign sometimes that she might be pregnant with child.
Is that how it works?
That's right. Unless you're the Virgin Mary, in which case I'm sure that did not happen and things just continued as... I don't know how things would have worked.
No, she was pregnant, so she was still...
She was officially pregnant. Yeah. It wasn't
a pretend pregnancy.
No, I don't...
She didn't shove a pillow up her dress
and walk around. Pregnancy. It was a regular immaculate thing.
Hey, do I have time to do my popular reception. YouTube hit?
Yeah. Your YouTube hit?
My popular YouTube hit?
Oh, we were hoping you were going to do your Vimeo hit, but all
right. I can't figure out Vimeo yet. They keep sending me things, and I keep going, I don't understand you.
And they say there's a YouTube video explaining it.
It probably is.
But of course you can. How are we doing on time, Dave?
I don't know. Didn't you set your thing to...
Did I ever not?
Okay.
I'd say we have time for maybe like three more songs.
Two more songs, I think.
Three more songs?
I say two. Dave says... I say three. Dave says two. Because he's a real Scrooge McDuck when it comes to songs.
Well, I was going to say that I think the show is being sponsored today, right? We have a sponsor for once, which would be... David, you're going to say the sponsor?
No. Oh, Gorgo?
The lime toffee chew bar that destroyed London. Ate London.
The electric green official candy of Christmas.
Yes.
Take your pick. Jesus. okay.
Do your YouTube hit.
No. I'll do the... No, you're right.
When he's right, he's right. When I'm right, I'm right. It doesn't happen often, but when it is, we celebrate it. It happens once a year like Christmas.
I'll take a deep breath and do
Dave
this.
Was right. Take a drink.
Mm-hmm. No. Deep breath. Mm-hmm. Hear now a word from our sponsor, the delightful lime toffee chew bar that is the official candy of Christmas. You know what's funny is lies. Lies are funny.
How so?
Well, you know, I just lied, and there was something funny about it, you know? it puts you in a funny area, and it's just funny.
It's fun to lie. That's why kids lie so much.
Mm. Yeah.
They say, I love you. They don't. Yeah, kids can't feel love until you're at least 16. So if your child says that, it's a lie.
It's a lie.
37, I was going to say. Anyways.
Yeah. I'm a father of teenagers. I am with David. Just kidding, girls. Okay. Go
on. This is for people with good taste, this one. Oh, I love Gorgo. Yes, Gorgo, because Gorgo's so yummy, delicious and tasty. A great thing to put in your mouth and chew and digest later. It comes out your bum, but you're happy. Your belly is empty and you can eat Gorgo again and again and again.
Very nice. Aww. Gorgo. Very nice.
We're having a lot of poo-related things.
Yeah.
We're having a real brown Christmas here.
Jeez, I just noticed. Okay. Right. Fair enough. See, I go with it, you know. Yeah. I never trouble
feces
myself.
Feces Navidad. That's what I say, everybody.
Did you say Cis La Navidad?
I said feces Navidad.
Oh, feces Navidad.
Racist. This is a song.
According to the U.S. Census,
don't you think
Hispanics are on a race?
According to the original census, Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
That's true.
Hmm. Really?
Okay. I don't know what we're talking about. Sorry, David, we threw you off your game there.
You know, it's like someone just whacked a pinata of fun.
I'm glad you didn't say feces.
All over this thing. Well, no. I, this is all part of it. You know, we are literally turning shit into gold.
That's true enough. And it's about time it happened. It's 107 episodes in.
Christmas gold.
Fecal alchemists.
You know, dogs will eat poo sometimes. So, you know.
Yeah.
Is that like the exception that proves the rule or something? I don't know. Good.
Well, we'll do a study on that later.
I am happy that we're in a weird area because I love them. Anyways, I think the YouTube video explains better than you can in words what the concept is.
Okay.
But it's a song from, the war's not going well, World War II we're talking about here, for the Germans. Germans are going, well, you know, what can we do? What can we do? And they went, well, you know, from World War I, everybody really remembers fondly that time we took a break on Christmas Eve and had a soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still make movies about it now. There's one, Joyeux Noël. I mean, you know, about, hey, isn't it great they played a soccer game, you know, before resuming killing each other, you know. So, okay, so the idea is the
but if you take sport as a symbolic of war between people, then really they didn't stop. Okay, yes. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Good. Good, Dave. So the idea was, how can we
– just trying to be hopeful.
Why don't we see if we can't – things aren't going well for us in 1944, you know, what can we do? And somebody just threw this out there is the idea. Let's have another soccer game. Let's just go out there and have another soccer game. At least they'll stop killing us maybe for like overnight or something.
Makes sense.
So it's called Let's Put the Ist Back into Christmas.
All right.
Okay. And it's German. Real German.
Okay.
Let's put the Ist back into Christmas. Let's have a German holiday. Let the fat man in the foxhole, lovely Fräulein's calling ya wood, making North Pole safe for no pole, yeah. Let's put the Ist back into Christmas. Let's have another football game. Tannenbaum's not bombs we're serving, holstered Luger's less unnerving. We love Berlin, just not Irving, yeah. You must remember this, First World War armistice. Our German friends want war to end this winter. Oh, bitte, Heil Hitler.
Wow.
It's pretty.
It's like history came alive for us.
It is.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, where are the Nazi Christmas carols?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are the old... I mean, you got your Tannenbaums. We all know what that's about, right, guys?
Yeah, sure.
And then we got this one. So now, that's good. We can bookend them.
And yeah. It was written by a Jew. That's the best part.
Was it? Oh, that makes it okay then.
Yeah.
We're all fine.
I mean, me, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
That's possible.
Do you know what? Never find out. It's nice to have a mystery. A Christmas mystery.
Well, actually, this year I did find out that my grandparents, when they came into Canada, I always thought it was a little suspicious when they left, because that's when they were chasing all the Jewish people out of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny because they said they were Greek Orthodox, which no one I ever knew in my family was Greek Orthodox. But I think they'd say that just to get out. Like, they couldn't say, yeah, we're Jews, because then they just ship them back. But the other thing was, they came from Austria. They came into Canada from Austria, and that's the way you would have gone. You wouldn't have left Ukraine directly. You'd have gone. Austria was a popular departure point for people coming to Canada in those days. So. Shalom! So, yeah. How are we doing for time?
We have time for one more song, I think.
Guys, it's almost Christmas.
It's almost Christmas, everybody.
Santa's coming soon. It's going to be... You know what? The most awkward time for me when I was a kid was when my dad told me about Santa and what he really does.
Your dad told you what Santa?
Yeah, which is like, you know, it's that time where you turn, you're about a teenager, and he sat me down and just went, okay, first of all, Santa's real, but here's what happens.
Okay.
Santa flies around the earth, and when he finds a chimney he really likes, he makes love to it.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, the children of that union are presents that come out of the fireplace.
What a cruel father you have.
Yeah, and that's why he needs the milk and cookies to just, like, replenish himself.
Yeah.
Because he has to fuck a lot of chimneys.
Okay.
So, yeah, I always have that Christmas memory.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's an awkward time for you,
because
you're thinking about fucking Santa.
No, I'm not a chimney. What the hell are you talking about?
No.
He's having sex with your chimneys. Doesn't care. He doesn't have sex with children. What the hell's wrong with you, Dave? What are you talking about?
I didn't see that.
Did Santa? What happened with you and Santa?
I had breakfast with him one time.
Sat on his lap.
Sounds bad.
You know, I played Santa in 1976 professionally at Woodward's at Guildford. You didn't know this?
I didn't know this. I've got a follow-up story that I want to tell you after this.
No, I was the swing shift Santa. There's a picture of my mom.
Why is that not a song?
My mom sitting on the... on the lap of this really young-looking Santa.
Mm-hmm.
It's both a Freudian nightmare and a wonderful wonderful Christmas memory, but it's from 1976. Like the job was listed in the newspaper, and I just went down there to apply, and so I filled out the thing, and then they phoned me because they wanted to see why someone who was, you know, my age would want to play Santa. So they had me in for an interview, and they said, "Well, we're not going to hire you as Santa, but you can work with us in the advertising department." They, you know, put together, you know, dummies and displays and stuff, and they actually did layouts for ads in the paper and stuff out of there. Nice people. But then the swing shift Santa went down, so they asked me if I wanted to do it, so I did.
Oh, that's very cool. Wow.
So, yeah.
Lucky you were there as a stand-in for the stand-in.
I was ready to go.
It's all about Christmas Eve. That's what it is. It's one of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, the story about All About Eve is replace the...
Sure.
So that actually does work on many levels, guys. I want to hit that joke because it actually engineer. Does really work.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks.
Please continue.
That's the end of the story.
Oh, I was a Christmas elf in the 80s, Breakfast with Santa,
It was actually called The Breakfast Club with Santa.
That's right. We all like revealed things about our old man. What we had to do is we had to kill time until Santa showed up. So the kids hated us because we were keeping them from Santa.
Yeah.
And at one point they had me go out as the elf with my as the singing elf and say, there's a problem and Santa might not make it. And so all the children started to cry. And with all the pictures that were around of Santa, if you'd walked in at that moment, I then had to start singing Silent Night. Just to vamp. And if you had walked in at that moment, it looked to anyone who would come in like we're at Santa's funeral.
Maybe it was. Maybe that was when Santa died. The spirit of Christmas died that day. Where was this at?
This is at the Bay.
Is it the Bay?
Yeah.
Downtown?
It was in one of the suburbs. I don't remember where it was. Probably Coquitlam or some
such. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kids hate anyone that keeps them from Santa. They don't like you think people hate an opening act at a concert. Oh, fuck. If you're keeping them from the guy who's giving them presents and his magic, you are the stand-up opening for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, what's wrong, Dave? Dave?
Your story has touched me deeply, and also... I've just come to realize, not just because of your story, which is really sad shit, but
it was sad and shit. That is true. Okay.
But I realize, you guys, that this time of year isn't happy for everyone.
It's true.
Yeah.
In fact, Christmas is a sad and lonely time. I said, Christmas is a sad time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Rupert. Yeah, sound like you're going to sing something.
Christmas is a sad and lonely time, so you better drink your Christmas wine. Grab a razor blade and chop a line of hokey cokey from Peru. Hire a prostitute and do not pay. Thank her for the complimentary lay. If you're still alive on Boxing Day, bang a hooker in your room. Christmas is a sad and lonely time. You guys hum or something. So you better drink your Christmas wine. Grab a razor blade and chop a line of hokey cokey from Peru. Hire a prostitute and do not pay. Thank her for the complimentary lay. If you are still alive on Boxing Day, bang a hooker in your room. Christmas is a sad and lonely time, so you better drink your Christmas wine. Grab a razor blade and chop a line of hokey cokey from Peru. Hire a prostitute and do not pay. Thank her for the complimentary lay. If you're still alive on Boxing Day, bang a hooker in your room. If you're still alive on Boxing Day, bang a hooker, three hookers and a dwarf, in your sad and lonely Christmas room.
Nice. I think that's just the perfect song to end Christmas.
on. Wait, we've ended Christmas?
We've finished it off. Christmas is over.
Mission accomplished!
Christmas is dead!
We are
all
now...
All hail Boxing Day!
We're all now standing... We're all now standing in fighter pilot suits on a battleship.
Lord on a, Satan aircraft triumphant. Carrier,
something...
Yeah, yes. here comes Dave's ride to take him away. Quick plug for our other podcast before we get done. We have another one right now called Completely Beatles. It's spelt in a weird way, which means you can't look it up online if you spell it correctly. Dave and I are going over every Beatles album track by track and album by album.
Yeah.
So go check that out. Those of you that are listening to this on a time that's not Christmas, I hope you have a normal day.
Save it for a year or so.
Yeah,
that's right. And by the way, keep it in your heart every day, just like Scrooge did. Mm-hmm. That is not healthy for your heart to do. By the way, eating that much stuffing and turkey and chocolates every day, you will die by February.
But what a way to go.
All right. Bring us home, David.
Bring us home. So let's just reiterate, which means repeat, that if you live in the Vancouver area and you happen to hear the show on Saturday or Sunday, make sure you come down to David's show at the Prop House. Not the Flop House. The Prop House, is it a cafe or a restaurant?
Cafe. 1636 Venables at Commercial.
Hey, thank you. 1636 Venables, right. It's about half a block down from Commercial if you're heading west. Anyway.
If you're at the Vancouver East Cultural Center, just roll down the hill.
Roll down the hill.
Roll down the hill. When you stop rolling, you'll be there.
To a much nicer place to watch a show, the Prop House. And come early because it's not a big place. It's not a big place because there's so much. They need room for Panthers. And for hanging chandeliers. So there's just not that as much room as you'd hope. But there's room, you know, I'm sure, you know. So get down there. What is it? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
Yes. Sunday night.
And remember, there's no admittance.
December 22nd. And there's no admittance. Except I'll be at the door and I'll sneak you in.
Okay. And Dave will be part of the show.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a pointed toe in the groin. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... Aren't you fading this out? No. Two busted balls and a pointed toe in the groin. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three big scenes, two busted balls and a pointed toe in the groin. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love... On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a pointed toe in the groin. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... Aren't you fading this out? No. Two busted balls and a pointed toe in the groin. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three big scenes, two busted balls, and a pointed toe in the groin. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four ulcers, three big scenes, two busted balls, and a pointed toe in the groin. This is the point where everything changes. On the fifth day of Christmas,
why are you still singing? We've already faded out.
Gave to me.
Yeah, we stopped recording about a half hour ago.
Five wasted years.
The guy doesn't care.
Four ulcers, three big scenes, two busted balls.
Where are my cards?
And a pointed toe in the groin. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six guys she's laying. Five wasted years. Four ulcers, three big scenes, two busted balls, and I've more understood the point of this part. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven possible pregnancies, six guys she's laying, five wasted years. Four ulcers,
Oops, I'm singing the actual song.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my tree love gave to me eight moochies milking, seven possible pregnancies, six guys she's laying, five wasted years, four holes.
That was a good yodeling.
That was pretty good.
It
was pretty good.
Pointed toe in the groin. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine nervous breakdowns. Eight! She's milking. Seven! Possible pregnancy. Six! Guys, she's laying! Five! Wasted years.
It's called dynamics.
Four ulcers, three big sisters. On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love...
No one cares about that part. Like, once you're past, you know, it's no one cares.
No one cares at all.
True love gave to me...
Why am I holding the cards?
Should have brought the cards.
10 Holy angry job. Creditors, 9 nervous breakdowns, 8 blue cheese milking, 7 possible pregnancy, 6 gosh, he's late, 5 wasted years... The math on 7 possible pregnancies and 6 guys she's laying, and possibly it's not any one of our children. There could be other guys.
No,
come
true.
To think of it, on the 11th day of Christmas,
well,
my true love gave to me 11 yeast infections, 10 angry creditors, 9 nervous breakdowns, 8 she's milking, 7 possible pregnancies, 6 guys she's laying, 5 wasted years.
I didn't expect that to happen. That got really mellow.
4 ulcers. 3 big seams. 2 busted balls. Ouch. And a pointed toe in the groin.
So we're done now, right? That's the end of that?
That's right. 12 gifts. 12 gifts of Christmas always ends on 11. Always.
For luck. It's like a baker's dozen.
Yes. You're right. Should be 13.
I think that's called a banker's dozen.
Note to self.
11 is a banker's dozen.
A banker's dozen is what happens at the orgy.
Day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Woo!
See, key change.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Then you go back. Woo! On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
That's beautiful.
No kidding. Hey, go open that door. Go, just go open the door.
Go open the door.
Open the door.
12 months of torture, 11 yeast infections, 10 angry creditors, 9 nervous breakdowns, 8 birches milking, 7 possible pregnancies, 6 guys she's laying, 5 busted balls, and a pointed...
How pointed was it?
How pointed was it?
How pointed was it?
How pointed was it? It's a rhetorical question.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know sorry.
Toe in the groin.
Thank you, David. December 22nd, everybody.
I gotta go talk to my landlord. I'll be right back.